الحمد لله الكريم الرحمن، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد المبعوث رحمة للإنس والجان، وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان. أما بعد، فيا أيها الإخوة والأخوات، أحياكم الله وأماتكم على التوحيد والسنة. ففي هذا اليوم الأربعاء 22 من شهر صفر من عام 1435 من الهجرة النبوية، أبتدئ معكم شرح هذه الرسالة المختصرة النافعة الماتعة في السنة والموسومة والمشهورة بأصول السنة الحميدي. وتفضل.
All of the praises for Allah, Al-Kareem, Al-Rahman, the most generous, the most merciful. And may prayers and peace be upon He who was sent as a mercy to the humans as well as the jinn, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise his companions and his followers until the day of recompense. As to proceed, O brothers and sisters in Islam, may Allah cause you to live and die upon Tawheed and the Sunnah. Today we are meeting with you on this Wednesday in the month of Safar in the year 1435 after the Hijrah to study and explain this short but beneficial treatise, which was written regarding the Sunnah, and it is known as Usul Sunnah by Al Imam Al Humaydi. Tafadhal Shaykh.
وقبل البدء بالتعليق على ما جاء في صفحات هذه الرسالة من العلم والهدى والتوحيد والسنة والأصول والمسائل، أقدم بمقدمات ثلاث. المقدمة الأولى، وهي عن كاتب ومصنف هذه الرسالة. مصنف هذه الرسالة وكاتب هذه الأصول، أصول السنة، هو الإمام الحافظ الثقة أبو بكر عبد الله ابن الزبير القرشي الحميدي، شيخ الحرم ومفتي مكة، وقد وصفه بالإمامة جمع من أئمة أهل السنة كأحمد بن حنبل وإسحاق ابن راهويه وأبي حاتم الرازي ومحمد بن إسماعيل البخاري، وهو من شيوخ الإمام البخاري رحمه الله، وأول رجل افتتح به البخاري صحيحه، وذلك عند أول حديث فيه، وهو حديث إنما الأعمال بالنيات. وكان هذا الإمام من أنصح الناس للإسلام والمسلمين، فقد قال يعقوب الفسوي رحمه الله: حدثنا الحميدي وما لقيت أنصح للإسلام وأهله منه. وهذا هو وصف سائر علماء أهل السنة، أنهم نصح للعباد بل ومن أشد الناس نصحا لهم، بل قد تكون نصيحتهم لهم أشد من نصيحة آبائهم وأمهاتهم وأهلهم وقرابتهم. نعم.
Sheikh, he says that before we began commenting upon what has come within the pages of this treatise from knowledge, guidance, tawheed in the sunnah, and the issues and the affairs of aqidah which can be found therein, we're going to speak in three introductions, or we're going to bring forth three introductory points. The first introductory point is regarding the author of this treatise, the one who wrote this magnificent book. And he is the Imam, the Hafiz, Abu Bakr ibn Abdullah ibn Zubair ibn Isa al-Qurashi al-Asadi al-Humaydi. And he has been attested to as having imama, or leadership, by a number of the imams, such as Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ishaq ibn Rahaway, and likewise Abu Hatim al-Razi, as well as Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. And he is from the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And he is the first individual that he began with in terms of his Sahih, meaning the first hadith, which is can be found in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari, is narrated from him. And it is the hadith wherein the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that indeed the actions are only by way of their intentions. The Sheikh, he says that, and he was from the most sincere as it relates to advising the people and advising the Muslims. As has been mentioned by one of the Salaf, that they said that Humaydi, that Imam al-Humaydi said, and I have not met anyone who was more sincere in advising the people and advising the Muslims. And the Sheikh, he says that this is how the Imams of the Sunnah are. They give sincere advice to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are the most intense in advising them and in wishing the best for them. And they are more severe in that than their fathers, their mothers, and their relatives. Father Sheikh, I'm mashkura majura.
قبل إكمال هذا الدرس نوبه الإخوة السامعين بأنني سأطرح عليهم بعض الأسئلة في نهاية كل درس من باب الامتحان والاختبار لما ستسمعونه وسمعتموه. وسأرسل لكم البريد الإلكتروني حتى ترسلون الإجابة عليه. وقد أرسلته إلى أخي أبي موسى فلعله يرسله أو يعطيكم إياه. ثم أرجع فأقول المقدمة الثانية, وهي عن ثبوت هذه الرسالة إلى الإمام الحميدي. هذه الرسالة والمشهورة بأصول السنة للإمام الحميدي رحمه الله ثابتة عنه، فقد ذكرها رحمه الله في مسنده، وكذلك نص على ثبوتها إمامان، أولهما الإمام ابن تيمية رحمه الله، والثاني الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله. وكذلك نقل بعضها جمع من أئمة أهل السنة كالإمام ابن قدامة المقدسي في كتابه ذم التأويل، والإمام ابن تيمية في مجموع الفتاوى، والإمام ابن قيم الجوزية في كتابه الجيوش الإسلامية، والإمام الذهبي في كتابه العرش وكتابه العلو وغيرها من كتبه. نعم.
The Shaykh Hafidhah Allah, he says, before we continue and finish this lesson, I want to alert those who are listening and attending this class to something. And the Shaykh, he says that at the end of every class, he's going to present some questions to the people. And these questions are by way of testing that which you heard within the course of the lesson and that which you have learned. And the Shaykh, he says that he's sending his email, which he already sent the email to me. And I'm going to give this pastor's email to the brother who is over these lessons. And he's going to present this to the people, or however the brother sees fit to do so. In order that the Shaykh, he wants the people to actually send back the answers to these questions to him. So he wants the people to send the answer to the questions that he asked to him. So the Shaykh, he says, as for the second introductory point, it is the affirmation of the ascription of this treatise to Al-Humaydi. And this treatise, it is known as Usul al-Sunnah by Al-Humaydi. And it is affirmed as being from him, as he himself has transmitted it and mentioned it within his famous Musnad. He actually has a Musnad, and he transmitted the book within his own Musnad. And likewise, it has been transmitted as well by two of the great imams. He is Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. He transmitted this from al-Imam al-Humaydi. And the second is al-Imam al-Dhahabi alayhi rahmatullah. And also a large group of other imams from Ahl al-Sunnah. From them, Ibn Qudamah, who transmitted this book within his book, them at Ta'wil, or any censor of Ta'wil and false interpretations. And likewise, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he reported it within his book, Majmu' al-Fatawa. And likewise, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he reported it within his book, Al-Juyush al-Islamiyyah. And Imam al-Dhahabi reported it within his book, Al-Ulu. And other than them, from the Imams, also reported this book and affirmed its ascription to al-Imam al-Humaydi. نعم يا شيخ.
المقدمة الثالثة، وهي عن تسمية الرسائل المتعلقة بالعقيدة بالسنة. جرت عادة كثير من أئمة أهل السنة والحديث رحمهم الله تعالى على تسمية الكتب التي تورد مسائل الاعتقاد وما خالف فيه أهل البدع النصوص باسم السنة. ومن أمثلة ذلك كتاب أصول السنة للحميدي، وكتاب السنة لعبد الله بن إمام أحمد، وكتاب السنة للخلال، وكتاب صريح السنة لابن جرير الطبري، وكتاب شرح السنة للبربهاري، وكتاب أصول السنة لابن أبي زمنين، وكتاب السنة لابن أبي عاصم، وكتاب السنة لحرب الكرماني، ولهذه التسمية أسباب، ومن هذه الأسباب تنبيه طالب العلم إلى أن المرجع في مسائل العقيدة ليس هو العقل والرأي ورأي الإنسان واجتهاده، وإنما المرجع هو نصوص الشريعة، نصوص القرآن ونصوص السنة. وأكثر مسائل العقيدة قد جاءت في نصوص السنة. الأمر الثاني كون أكثر المسائل التي كون أكثر المسائل العقدية التي ردها أهل البدع والضلال إنما ثبتت عن طريق السنة النبوية. الأمر الثالث التأكيد على أن السنة النبوية الصحيحة حجة في باب العقيدة. والأمر الرابع تقوية قلب طالب العلم على الثبات على السنة والرجوع إليها في أموره كلها. نعم.
Sheikh Hafidhullah Allah says that the third point or introductory point is as it relates to naming the books which speak about the Aqidah with As-Sunnah. The Sheikh, he says that a number of books which cover and deal with affairs of creed and belief system, they are called As-Sunnah. And are these books of creed which specify and speak about the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and those affairs in which the people of Bid'ah, they oppose the text, they are called as Sunnah. And from them there is Usul Sunnah by Al-Imam Al-Humaydi. And likewise, Usul Sunnah by Imam Ahmad. And likewise, Usul Sunnah by Al-Khullal. And likewise, Sahih Sunnah by Al-Tabari, as well the Ishrah al-Sunnah by Al-Imam al-Barbahari, and likewise Usul al-Sunnah by the Imam Ibn Abi Zamanain, and also al-Sunnah by Ibn Abi Asim, and also al-Sunnah by Harb al-Khirmani. And this is for a number of reasons. The first reason is to draw the attention of the student of knowledge to the fact that the reference point in creed, it is not the intellects, nor is it opinions and ijtihad. The point of reference is only the text of the legislation, the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. As well, that most of the affairs of the Aqidah, they come within the texts of the Sunnah. So this is the first reason, the Sheikh, he says. The second reason is that most of the issues of Aqidah, in which the people of bid'ah and misguidance, they deviate and they oppose Ahl Sunnah. Most of these issues come within the prophetic Sunnah. And the third point, or the third reason, is to emphasize the fact that the Sunnah is an evidence and a hujjah in terms of creed. And the fourth reason why these books of Aqidah are called a Sunnah, it is to strengthen the heart of the student of knowledge, and to strengthen his heart upon the Sunnah, and strengthen his heart in knowing that the Sunnah is a reference point and that he is to return to the Sunnah in affairs of creed and belief system. Fadl Shaykhana.
وبعد هذه المقدمات الثلاث أبدأ في قراءة بعض ما تيسر من هذه الرسالة المباركة في هذا المجلس مع الشرح والتعليق، والذي أسأل الله الجليل أن يكون مختصرا وواضحا وسهلا يفي بالغرض ويحصل منه المقصود وتتم به المعرفة الجيدة. إن ربي سميع مجيب. فأقول مستعينا بالله، قال الإمام الحافظ الكبير أبو بكر عبد الله بن الزبير الحميدي رحمه الله: السنة عندنا، يعني عند أهل السنة والحديث، السنة عندنا أن يؤمن الرجل بالقدر خيره وشره، حلوه ومره، وأن يعلم أن ما أصابه لم يكن ليخطئه، وأن ما أخطأه لم يكن ليصيبه، وأن ذلك كله قضاء من الله عز وجل. تفضل.
So after these introductory points, we will now move on to explaining that which is easy from this blessed book. This book, Usul al-Sunnah by Al-Humaydi. And we're going to explain that which is easy within this majlis. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it, simple and summarized, and to make it easy upon the people that they may benefit and that they may be able to learn the affairs which are contained within this book. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the all-hearing and the one who responds to supplications. So I say, seeking the help of Allah, that the Imam al-Hafidh Abu Bakr al-Humaydi, he said, Usul al-Sunnah indana, or the principles of the Sunnah, according to us meaning Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the people of Hadith. He said that the Sunnah with us is that the individual believes in Al-Qadr, its good as well as its evil, that which is sweet from it and that which is bitter, and that the individual knows that that which befalls him was not ever going to miss him, and that which misses him was not going to come to him. And all of that is a decree from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Father Shaykhana.
هذه القطعة من كلام الإمام الحميدي رحمه الله تتعلق بالقدر، والمراد بالقدر تقدير الله للأشياء قبل وجودها. فيجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة أن يؤمن إيمان جازما لا شك فيه ولا ارتياب أن الله تعالى قد قدر في الأزل جميع ما سيحصل على خلقه من خير أو شر، حلو أو مر، وأن ما قدره سبحانه وقضاه على كل واحد منهم واقع لا محالة، لا دافع له ولا راد، ولن يصيب إلا من كتب الله أن يصاب به ويحصل له. ومن أمثلة هذه الأقدار السعادة والشقاوة والصحة والمرض والغنى والفقر والجوع والشبع والإنجاب والعقم والسرقة والأمانة والعلم والجهل والكذب والصدق والسفر والإقامة والخوف والأمن وغير ذلك. تفضل.
الشيخ says that within this section from the speech of the Imam al-Humaydi, he speaks about al-Qadr. And what is intended by al-Qadr is the taqdir or the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal of things before they come into existence. It is obligatory upon every Muslim that he believes in al-Qadr and that he has no doubt in it whatsoever. And he believes that Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed all things which happen to the creation from that which is good and that which is evil, that which is sweet as well as that which is bitter. And to each there will occur that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. And it is impossible to repel or to avoid anything from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for the servants. The Shaykh, he says that, and nothing will occur except that which Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed. And from the examples of this decree of Allah Azza wa Jal is the affairs of happiness as well as misery, the affairs of enrichment as well as poverty, the affairs of health as well as illness, the affairs of fullness or being full as well as hunger, the affairs of stealing as well as trustworthiness, knowledge as well as ignorance, lying as well as truthfulness, travel as well as residence or being a resident, fear as well as safety, and other than this from the affairs which occur and take place to the creation. Akh Yusuf, the Sheikh, we lost the Sheikh. You should call him back, inshallah. نعم
نعم
شيخنا، نعم تفضل، خلصت من الترجمة.
خلاص من الترجمة.
أيوة.
والإيمان بالقدر واجب بالنص وإجماع أهل العلم، فقد ثبت في صحيح مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال: جاء مشركو قريش يخاصمون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في القدر، فنزلت هذه الآية: يوم يسحبون في النار على وجوههم ذوقوا مس سقر إنا كل شيء خلقناه بقدر. فنزلت هذه الآية: إنا كل شيء خلقناه بقدر. وثبت عن علي بن أبي طالب، وثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: لا يؤمن عبد حتى يؤمن بأربع، وذكر منها: ويؤمن بالقدر. وثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: لن يؤمن عبد حتى يؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره، بل إن الإيمان بالقدر أحد أركان الإيمان الستة. والإيمان بالقدر واجب بنص الشريعة المطهرة وبإجماع أهل العلم، فقد أخرج الإمام مسلم في صحيحه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال: جاء مشرك قريش يخاصمون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في القدر، فنزلت هذه الآية: إن كل شيء خلقناه بقدر. وثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: لا يؤمن عبد حتى يؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره، بل إن الإيمان بالقدر أحد أركان الإيمان الستة، كما جاء في حديث جبريل المشهور الذي خرجه الإمام مسلم في صحيحه حين سئل ابن عمر عن أناس يزعمون ألا قدر، فقال: فإذا لقيت، فقال لسائله: فإذا لقيت أولئك فأخبرهم أني بريء منهم وأنهم براء مني، والذي يحلف به عبد الله بن عمر لو أن لأحدهم مثل أحد ذهبا فأنفقه، يعني في سبيل الله، فأنفقه ما قبل الله منه حتى يؤمن بالقدر. ثم ذكر سؤال جبريل للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حيث قال له: فأخبرني عن الإيمان. قال: أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر، وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. فقال جبريل: صدقت. وثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: ولو أنفقت مثل أحد ذهبا في سبيل الله ما قبله الله منك حتى تؤمن بالقدر وتعلم أن ما أصابك يعني من الأقدار، وتعلم أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك، وأن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك.
The Shaykh Hafidhah Allah, he says that Iman in Al-Qadr, it is affirmed or it is obligatory by way of the pure legislation of, or the pure text of the text of the pure legislation, and likewise the consensus of the Ahlul Ilm upon its being obligatory. It is affirmed by Imam Muslim within the Sahih on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he said a mushrik from the Quraysh came and tried to argue and debate with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding al-Qadr. So when this happened, the verse was revealed wherein Allah azza wa jalla says that inna kulla shayin khalaqnahu bil-Qadr, that we have created everything with Qadr. And likewise, it is affirmed from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says that the servant will not truly believe until he believes in al-Qadr, its good and its evil. And not to mention the fact that the Qadr, or believing in it, is one of the six pillars of al-Iman, as can be seen and affirmed within the famous hadith of Jibril, which is reported by Imam Muslim within his Sahih. And in this story, Abdullah bin Umar was asked by some people, or he was asked about some people who claimed that there is no such thing as Qadr. And Abdullah bin Umar, he says that when you encounter these people, and he said this to the people who were asking him about those individuals, that when you encounter these people, then you inform them that I am free of them and they are free of me. And by he whom Abdullah bin Umar swears by, if one of them were to have gold equal to the amount of Uhud and he spends it, meaning he spends it in charity, then Allah will not accept that from him until he believes in Al-Qadr. And then he mentioned the questioning of Jibril to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from that which came therein is that Jibril, he said to him, أخبرني عن الإيمان, inform me what is Iman. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says,
Jibril asked him to inform me about al-Iman. What is al-Iman? He says that Iman, it is that you believe in Allah, the angels, the books, the messengers, the last day, and that you believe in the Qadr, its good as well as its evil. And Jibril, upon hearing this, he said, Sadaq, you have spoken truthfully. And likewise, it is affirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he says that if one of you were to spend gold equal to the amount of Uhud in charity, Allah will not accept it from him until he believes in al-Qadr, and that he knows that whatever befalls you is not going to miss you, and that which misses you was never going to befall you. Naam, Shaykh.
ثم قال الإمام الحافظ الكبير أبو بكر عبد الله ابن الزبير الحميدي رحمه الله: وأن الإيمان قول وعمل، يزيد وينقص ولا ينفع قول إلا بعمل ولا عمل وقول إلا بنية ولا قول وعمل ونية إلا بسنة. تفضل.
And then the great Hafiz and Imam Abu al-Humaydi rahimahullah, he said, and that, meaning that the sunnah is also that iman is qawlun wa amalun, it is statement and action. It increases and it decreases. A statement will not benefit unless it has action along with it. An action and statement will not benefit unless they have intention along with them. And statement and action along with intention will not benefit unless they are in accordance with the sunnah. Naam, Sheikh.
اجتمل هذا المقطع من كلام الإمام الحميدي رحمه الله على ثلاثة أمور تتعلق بالإيمان. الأمر الأول عن تعريفه، الإيمان عند السلف الصالح أهل السنة والحديث قول وعمل، وبهذا عرف الإمام الحميدي رحمه الله الإيمان. وأكثر أهل العلم إذا عرفوا الإيمان عرفوه بهذا التعريف، كما نقل ذلك عنهم الحافظ ابن رجب الحنبلي رحمه الله في كتابه فتح الباري. وهذا التعريف يتكون من كلمتين هما القول والعمل. فالقول يتضمن شيئين، الأول قول القلب والمراد به تصديقه وإقراره بالله ومعرفته له. الثاني قول اللسان والمراد به النطق بالشهادتين والعمل، يتضمن ثلاثة أشياء. الأول عمل القلب والمراد به العبادات القلبية كالمحبة والخوف والرجاء والتوكل وغيرها. والثاني عمل اللسان والمراد به العبادات القولية التي ينطق بها اللسان كالذكر الله تعالى وتلاوة القرآن وتدريس العلم والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. والثالث عمل الجوارح كالرأس واليدين والقدمين. والمراد بعمل الجوارح العبادات التي تتعلق بالجوارح كالقيام في الصلاة والركوع والسجود والسعي والطواف في الحج أو العمرة والجهاد في سبيل الله. وهذا التعريف هو أتم تعاريف الإيمان وأشملها، لأنه يستوعب كل جوانب الإيمان ويتضمن 5 أمور: قول القلب وقول اللسان وعمل القلب وعمل اللسان وعمل الجوارح. نعم.
الشيخ حفظه الله, he says that this particular section from the speech of Imam Humaydi, it comprises 3 affairs from the affair, or 3 affairs which are connected to Iman. The first of them is the definition of Al-Iman. And the definition of Al-Iman, which the Salaf al-Salih, the people of Sunnah and Hadith, have stated. And it is that Iman is statement and action. And this is that which the Imam al-Humaydi has defined Iman as being. And likewise, the people of knowledge define Iman as being this as well. As has been mentioned by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, the Hafiz, within his book, Fath al-Bari. And as it relates to this definition, it contains within it 2 statements, or 2 words. And it is that Iman is statement, and it is action. And statement comprises 2 things. It is, firstly, the statement of the heart. And the statement of the heart, what is intended by it, is the tasdeeq, or the affirmation, and the affirming belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, and knowledge of Him. And the second thing, which is comprised within statement, is statement of the tongue. And what is meant or intended by statement of the tongue is the utterance of the shahadatain. And action comprises 3 things. It is firstly action of the heart. And what is intended by action of the heart is those ibadat al-qalbiyya, or those acts of worship which the heart do. And such as love, fear, hope, trust and reliance, etc. And then there is the action of the tongue. And this is those, what is intended by this is the words or those statements which the tongue utters by way of worship, such as the remembrance of Allah, and such as the recitation of the Quran. And likewise, there is commanding the good and forbidding the evil, and likewise teaching knowledge. These are all from the actions of the tongue. And then there are the actions of the limbs. And what is intended by the action of the limbs are the actions which are done by such as the head, the hands, and the feet. And these are those actions which are connected to, or the worship which is connected to the limb, such as when an individual stands and bows and prostrates within the prayer, such as performing the same, and the tawaf, when an individual does Hajj or Umrah, likewise jihad in the cause of Allah. These are all from the actions of the limbs. And the Shaykh, he says that this is the most complete and comprehensive definition which can be given for al-Iman. And this is because it brings together all of its aspects in a short and concise statement. And it comprises these five affairs. And these five affairs are, firstly, statement of the heart, and likewise, statement of the tongue. And likewise, action of the heart, likewise, action of the tongue, and fifthly, action of the limbs. All of these are combined and brought together within this definition. Now, Mr. Sheikh.
وبعض أهل السنة قد يعرف الإيمان بقوله الإيمان اعتقاد بالقلب وإقرار باللسان وعمل بالجوارح، وهذا التعريف تعريف صحيح وهو مشابه للتعريف الأول، إلا أن من ذكر هذا التعريف خشي أنه إذا قيل أن الإيمان قول وعمل أن يفهم بعض الناس أن القول هنا لا يراد به إلا القول الظاهر، فلا يدخل فيه قلب القول، ولذلك قال لم يقل إيمان قول وعمل فذكر جزئين، وإنما قال اعتقاد بالقلب وإقرار باللسان وعمل بالجوارح فذكر ثلاثة أجزاء. فهذا بسط وشرح للتعريف، وهذا كالبسط والشرح للتعريف السابق. نعم.
الشيخ عبد الله said that as some of أهل السنة have defined إيمان as being a statement or often belief within the heart, and likewise affirming it with the tongue, and likewise actions of the limbs. And this is a correct definition, actually. Sheikh says that it is similar to the first definition, with the exception that some of those who mentioned this particular definition, they did so out of fear that some of the people who, when they heard the statement that Iman is statement and action, that they would only understand from this that outward and apparent statement which an individual makes upon the tongue, and not necessarily understand it is likewise the statement which is made within the heart. And they would not deem that which is within the heart to be from al-Iman. However, the Sheikh, he says that this definition and the first definition is one and the same, and they explain the same exact thing. However, this one specifically mentions it as being in three parts, and it is the belief within the heart, the statement of the tongue, and the action upon the limbs. And so their explanation of it in this manner and their definition of it in this manner is similar to the explanation of it in the first manner, which we mentioned from Imam al-Humaydi. Naam, Sheikh.
أبا موسى.
أيوة.
أتمهل في الكلام. فأنا أتمهل. أقول تمهل في الكلام قليلا.
نعم.
فأنا أتكلم قليلا قليلا وبدون عجلة حتى تفهم علي فتشرح لهم.
نعم.
كذلك أنت تكلم قليلا قليلا ولا تتكلم بعجلة حتى يفهموا ما تريد أن تقول.
نعم.
وبعض أهل السنة قد يقول عن الإيمان، قد يعرف الإيمان فيقول الإيمان قول وعمل ونية، وذلك لأنه لا يقبل قول وعمل إلا بنية، لأن القول والعمل بغير نية يكون نفاقا. وبعض أهل السنة قد يقول عند تعريف الإيمان الإيمان قول وعمل ونية واتباع للسنة أو إصابة للسنة، وذلك لأن القول والعمل لا يكون محبوبا إلى الله تعالى إلا باتباع السنة، لأن القول والعمل من غير اتباع من غير سنة يكون بدعة. تفضل.
The Sheikh of Allah, he said that some of the people of knowledge as well, they define Iman as being statement, action, and niyyah. And this is because statement and action will not be correct or acceptable by Allah except if they have along with them niyyah and correct intention. And some of them as well define Iman as being statement, action, niyyah, and conformity with the sunnah. Afwan, excuse me, the Sheikh, he also mentioned that, and this is because the action which had, the iman which is statement and action and does not have along with the correct niyyah, and this is in fact nifaq or hypocrisy. And so the Sheikh says that some of them as well define it as being statement, action, niyyah, and conformity with the sunnah. And this is because that statement and action, if it, although it has correct niyyah, but if it is not in conformity with the sunnah, it will not be acceptable by Allah Azza wa Jal unless it is in conformity with the sunnah. And if it is not in conformity with the sunnah, it is in fact bid'ah. Brother Sheikh.
Wa hadha at-ta'rif lil iman wa anna al-iman mustamil ala thalathati ashya' ala اعتقاد القلب، اعتقادات القلب، وأعمال ونطق اللسان، وأعمال الجوارح، قد دل عليه، قد دل على ثبوته، على صحته النص والإجماع، وقد دلت نصوص كثيرة في القرآن وفي السنة النبوية صحيحة على أن الإيمان يشمل القول والعمل، ومن ذلك قول الله جل وعلا في أول سورة الأنفال: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا. فدلت هذه الآية على دخول أعمال القلوب في الإيمان كالخوف والرجاء، ودلت على دخول أعمال الجوارح في الإيمان كالصلاة والنفقة. نعم.
The Sheikh said that this definition for Iman is being in three parts like this, comprising these three things: belief within the heart, likewise the statement of the tongue and the action of the limbs. The Sheikh says that the correctness of this is proven by way of the text and the ijma. The Sheikh said that the text of the book and the sunnah establish and prove the fact that Iman is comprised of these things. And from that is that which is mentioned by Allah Azza wa Jal within Surah Al-Anfal. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that the believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, they feel a tremor within their hearts. They feel fear within their hearts. And when His verses are recited to them, it increases their iman. And they put their trust upon their Lord. And those who spend from that which Allah Azza wa Jal has provided for them, these are the believers in truth. The Sheikh, he says that this actually proves the fact that actions of the heart enter into the definition of al-iman, because fear and hope are from the actions of the heart. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the spending from that which Allah has provided for them, and likewise the prayer also, which are actions of the body parts and the limbs. نعم يا شيخ.
ومن أشهر هذه الأدلة وأجمعها ما أخرجه مسلم في صحيحه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة، فأفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله، وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. وهذا الحديث قد ورد فيه إدخال عمل القلب وقول اللسان وعمل الجوارح في الإيمان، فإماطة الأذى عن الطريق من أعمال الجوارح، والحياء من أعمال القلوب، وقول لا إله إلا الله من أعمال اللسان. ولهذا نلاحظ أن كثيرا من أهل العلم يستعملون هذا الحديث عند التدليل على تعريف عند ذكر تعريف الإيمان لاشتماله على الأمور الثلاثة. نعم.
And the most clear and evident proofs concerning this matter is that which Muslim reported within his Sahih from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said that iman bid'u wa sab'una shu'ba, that iman is 70 some odd branches. The highest of them is the statement la ilaha illallah. The lowest of them is to remove that which is harmful from the road. Wal haya, and al haya or modesty and shyness is a shu'ba, is a branch of al iman. The Shaykh, he says that this hadith, it comprises and improves, or it comprises actions of the heart, likewise the statement of the tongue, and actions of the limbs, into the definition of al-iman. The Shaykh, he says that the firstly is to remove something harmful from the road, and this is from the actions of the limbs. And secondly, al-haya is an action of the heart. And thirdly, the statement la ilaha illallah, this is a statement upon the tongue. And for this reason, many of the people of knowledge, they mention this particular hadith when defining al-iman as being these three affairs, due to it containing and comprising the three affairs of belief within the heart, the action upon the limbs, and the testification of the tongue. Now, Mishnah.
والأحاديث والآيات في صحة هذا التعريف كثيرة جدا، وكذلك دل على صحة هذا التعريف وأنه حق إجماع اتفاق أهل العلم، وممن نقل اتفاقهم على ذلك الإمام الشافعي، وكذلك الإمام أبو ثور، وكذلك الإمام المزني، وكذلك الإمام أبو زيد القيرواني، وكذلك الإمام أبو عثمان الصابوني، وكذلك الإمام ابن تيمية، وغيرهم من أهل العلم. نعم.
The Shaykh, he says that in the ahadith, which have been authentically reported, which prove and establish the fact that this definition is correct, are very many. And what also proves that this definition of iman is correct is the ijma and the agreement of the people of knowledge upon the fact that it is correct. And from those who transmitted consensus upon this fact is al-Imam al-Shafi'i, likewise the Imam Abu Thawr, and likewise the Imam al-Muzani, and likewise the Imam Abu Zayd al-Qirawani, also the Imam al-Sabuni, and likewise the Imam Ibn Taymiyyah alayhim rahmatullah. Now,
الأمر الثاني الذي تضمنه كلام الإمام الحميدي رحمه الله السابق الذي تمت قراءته وترجمته. الأمر الثاني عن زيادة الإيمان ونقصانه. الإيمان يزداد ويقوى بكثرة الطاعات والعبادات، وينقص ويضعف بسبب فعل المعاصي والكثرة من فعلها. وقد دل على زيادة الإيمان ونقصانه القرآن والسنة والإجماع. أما القرآن فقد قال الله تعالى: وهو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. وقال تعالى: وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا. وهاتان الآيتان صريحتان في أن الإيمان يزداد ويقوى بالطاعات والعبادات. نعم.
So the second statement which has come within, or the second portion of the statement that has come in the statement of Imam Al-Humaydi, which we translated earlier, is the fact that Iman, it increases and it decreases. The Shaykh, he says Iman, it increases and it gets stronger by way of the abundance of doing acts of obedience and acts of worship. And likewise, it decreases by committing acts of disobedience and being abundant in doing so. And that which affirms that Iman increases and that it decreases is the Qur'an, the Sunnah, as well as the Ijma'. As for the Qur'an, Allah has said what it translated to mean, that He is the one who has sent down Sakina upon a tranquility upon the hearts of the believers, in order that they may increase in Iman along with their present Iman. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions, and when the verses are recited to them, they increase in their Iman. The Shaykh says that these and display and showing the fact that Iman is a way of an abundance of acts of obedience. Father Shaykh.
ومن الأدلة على ذلك ما أخرجه البخاري ومسلم في صحيحيهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن، ولا يسرق حين يسرق وهو مؤمن، ولا يشرب الخمر حين يشربها وهو مؤمن، والتوبة معروضة بعد. وهذا الحديث صريح في أن الذنوب والمعاصي إذا فعلها العبد فإن إيمانه ينقص ويضعف بسببها. نعم.
And likewise from that which proves the decrease is that which has been authentically reported within Al-Bukhari and Muslim, within their two sahihs, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the fornicator does not fornicate while he's a Muslim or while he's a believer. And the thief does not steal also while he is a believer. And the drinker of intoxicants does not drink intoxicants while he is a believer. And Tawbah is obligatory thereafter. The Shaykh, he says that this hadith is explicit in mentioning the fact that by way of doing act of disobedience, then iman, it decreases and it loses its completion and perfection. Now, Mr.
وثبت عن عمير بن حبيب رضي الله عنه وهو من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال الإيمان يزيد وينقص. قيل له وما زيادته وما نقصانه؟ قال إذا ذكرناه، يعني ذكرنا الله، إذا ذكرناه وخشيناه فذلك زيادته، وإذا غفلنا ونسينا وضيعنا فذلك نقصانه. فدل هذا الأثر على أن أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يؤمنون بأن الإيمان يزيد بالطاعات وينقص بالمعاصي، ونطقوا بذلك وذكروه للناس. نعم. و تفضل.
الشيخ says that it is affirmed on the authority of Umar ibn Habib, الشيخ.
عمير ابن حبيب.
عمير ابن حبيب رضي الله تعالى عنه. No. And he is from the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he said that iman increases and it decreases. He was asked, what is its increase, meaning what increases it and what decreases it. He says the remembrance, meaning the remembrance of Allah, and likewise doing acts of obedience, it increases it. And likewise, its decrease is if you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you commit acts of disobedience, then that actually decreases it. So the Shaykh, he says that this hadith, it is an explicit evidence that admission from a companion of the Messenger of Allah that iman increases by way of doing acts of obedience and it decreases by way of doing acts of disobedience. And the fact that it is affirmed, it was the affirmed belief and agreed upon amongst the companions. Now, Mr. Sheikh.
وثبت زيادة وقد ثبتت زيادة الإيمان بالطاعات ونقصانه بالمعاصي بالإجماع، فقد أجمع أهل العلم على ذلك، وقد نقل إجماعهم عليه جمع كثير من أهل العلم كحرب الكرماني وأبو عثمان الصابوني وابن أبي زيد القيرواني وابن أبي زملين وغيرهم. نعم.
Sheikh, he says that the increase of iman by way of obedience and decrease by way of disobedience is also affirmed by way of the consensus of the people of knowledge upon this fact. And a large group of scholars have narrated and reported consensus upon this. Firstly, Al-Harb Al-Kiramani, and likewise Abu Uthman Al-Sabuni, and likewise Al-Imam Al-Qirawani, and likewise Ibn Abi Zamanain.
الأمر الثالث الذي تضمنه كلام المصنف رحمه الله تعالى أنه لا ينفع قول وعمل أنه لا ينفع قول إلا بعمل، ولا عمل وقول إلا بنية، ولا قول وعمل ونية إلا بسنة. والعمل عمل الجوارح لا بد منه، في الإيمان، إذ لا يجزئ القول إلا بعمل كما حكى الإجماع على ذلك غير واحد من أهل العلم، ومنهم الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى، وكذلك الأجري في كتاب الأربعين وغيرهما من أهل العلم. فلا بد من العمل، من عمل الجوارح، ولهذا نلاحظ ولهذا تلاحظون في القرآن أن الله سبحانه وتعالى إذا ذكر المؤمنين وذكر الإيمان أتبعه بالعمل الصالح، إلا الذين آمنوا كما في قوله سبحانه إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. ومن هذا الباب ظل من ظل في باب الإيمان حين أخرج العمل عن الإيمان، وتقدم أن العمل إذا لم يكن أن العمل أن وتقدم أن القول والعمل من غير نية يكون نفاقا، وأن القول والعمل من غير اتباع للسنة يكون بدعة. نعم.
The Sheikh Hafidah Allah said that the third statement which has come within the speech of Imam Al-Humaydi concerning Iman is that actions do not benefit, or statements do not benefit except with as they come along with actions. And statements and actions do not benefit unless they come along with niyyah. And statements, actions, and niyyah do not benefit unless they come along with they are accompanied by following the sunnah. The Sheikh, he says that actions of the limbs are a must as it relates to iman. Hence, statements alone will not suffice an individual unless he brings forth actions, as has been transmitted by more than one of the people of knowledge regarding this issue. From them, the imam al-Shafi'i, and likewise, from Al-Imam Al-Ajurri within his book Al-Arda'in, and other than them from the scholars of the people of Ahl Sunnah who affirm this fact. So therefore actions are a must, and for this reason you notice within the Quran that whenever Allah Azawajal mentions the believers and he mentions Iman, he mentions it in connection with action. Such as Allah's statement, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except for those who have iman and they do righteous actions. And the people began to deviate as it relates to this issue once they took action out of being from an iman. The Sheikh says that, and so it has come previously that we mentioned that statements and actions which do not have niyyah, it is in fact hypocrisy. And likewise, statements, actions, and niyyah which are not in accordance with the sunnah, then they are in fact bid'ah.
تكلمت فيما مضى عن الإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره, وأنه قد دل على وجوب الإيمان به, قد دل على وجوب الإيمان به النص والإجماع. فذكرت بعض النصوص, ولكن لعلي نسيت أن أذكر من نقل الإجماع على وجوب الإيمان بالقضاء والقدر, وقد نقله جمع كثير من أهل العلم، منهم الإمام أحمد بن حنبل، وكذلك الحافظ، وكذلك الإمام حرب الكرماني، وكذلك الإمام أبو عثمان الصابوني، وكذلك الحافظ ابن عبد البر، وكذلك الحافظ عبد الغني المقدسي، وكذلك الإمام ابن تيمية رحمهم الله تعالى. نعم.
The Sheikh, he said that previously we mentioned Iman in Al-Qadr and the fact that it is obligatory. And we mentioned some of the text from the book and the Sunnah which prove that it is obligatory. However, the Sheikh said that he forgot to mention that it is obligatory as well, or that he mentioned as well, it is obligatory by way of the text of the book and the Sunnah as well as the Ijma or the consensus upon this. However, he forgot to mention some of those who transmitted the consensus upon it. And from those who transmitted consensus upon it is Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and likewise Imam Harb al-Kirmani, and likewise Abu Uthman al-Sabuni, and likewise the Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr, and likewise the Imam Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, and likewise the Imam Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah.
وبهذا القدر أكون قد أنهيت المجلس الأول من المجالس المتعلقة بشرح هذا الكتاب، وأطرح عليكم بعض الأسئلة حول ما تقدم شرحه والتعليق عليه. فأقول: السؤال الأول، أذكر خمسة أمثلة على القدر، أذكر خمسة أمثلة تدل على القدر خيره وشره، حلوه ومره. السؤال الثاني، أذكر دليلا من القرآن ومن السنة على إثبات القدر. السؤال الثالث، أذكر ثلاثة من العلماء نصوا على وجوب الإيمان بالقدر. السؤال الرابع، أذكر تعريفين للإيمان. السؤال الخامس، أذكر دليلا من السنة على أن الإيمان اعتقاد بالقلب وعمل ونطق باللسان وعمل بالجوارح. أذكر دليلا من السنة على أن الإيمان اعتقاد بالقلب وقول باللسان وعمل بالجوارح. السؤال السادس، أذكر دليلين من القرآن على أن الإيمان يزيد وينقص. السؤال الأخير: اذكر ثلاثة من الأئمة نقلوا إجماع أهل العلم على أن الإيمان يزيد وينقص. وأختم بهذا، وأسأل الله جل وعلا أن ينفعني وإياكم بما سمعتم، وأن يعيننا على ذكره وشكره وحسن عبادته. وسبحانك اللهم بحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
جزاكم الله خير شيخنا وبارك الله فيك.
وإياكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
شيخ
فضل الشيخ حفظه الله، he says that we're going to fight with this amount within the first sitting in the study of this blessed book, meaning the book of Sulu Sunnah by Imam al-Humaydi. And the question, I'm going to present some questions to you all regarding that which has preceded in the explanation of this book and that which you have heard. So the first question which the Sheikh presented is: mention five examples for Al-Qadr. Mention five examples for Al-Qadr, which proves Al-Qadr is good, it's evil, it's sweetness, and it's bitterness. Mention five examples of things which actually come from Al-Qadr, or things which are the Qadr of Allah. It's good, it's evil, it's sweetness, and it's bitterness. The second question is: mention an evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah which affirm Al-Qadr. Mention a proof from the Quran and the Sunnah which affirm Al-Qadr. That's the second question. The third question is: mentioned three scholars who textually mentioned the obligation of believing in Al-Qadr. Mention three scholars who textually mentioned the obligation of belief in the Qadr. That's the third question. The fourth question: mention two definitions for Al-Iman. Mention two definitions for Al-Iman. This is the fourth question. So the fifth question: mention a proof from the Sunnah that Iman is belief in the heart, testification or statement with the tongue, and action with the limbs. Mention an evidence from the Sunnah that Iman is belief in the heart, statement of the tongue, and action with the limbs. That was the fifth question. The sixth question: mention two proofs from the Quran that Iman increases and decreases. Mention two evidences from the Quran that Iman increases and decreases. And the last question, which is the seventh question: Mention three imams who transmit consensus upon the fact that Iman increases and decreases. Mention three of the scholars who mention or transmitted consensus upon the fact that Iman increases and it decreases. I think I should repeat the questions again. Firstly, the first question is to mention five examples of Al-Qadr is good and it's evil, it's sweetness and it's bitterness. And five examples of things which are the Qadr is good, it's evil, it's sweetness and it's bitterness. The second, mention a proof from the Quran and the Sunnah for the affirmation of belief in Al-Qadr. The third question, mention three scholars who textually mention the obligation of having iman in Al-Qadr. The fourth question, mention two definitions for iman. The fifth question, mention a proof from the Sunnah that iman is belief within the heart, statement of the tongue, and action with the limbs. The sixth question, mention two proofs from the Quran that iman increases and decreases. And the last question, mention three of the imams who transmitted consensus upon the fact that iman increases and decreases. So on this note, the Sheikh, he says that he rounds up the lecture, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit that which you have heard, and make us those who listen to the speech and follow the best thereof, and to aid and assist all of us upon his remembrance, and likewise thanking him and worshiping him in a good way. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.